straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 325, brought to you by Hook'em.com. Our really good friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, we got a jam-packed podcast. UT football, Steve Sarkisian, getting it done. Spring football's around the corner. We got men's hoops coming up, women's hoops coming up. Super Bowl review, you got it, and we're on it. Let's get started. Interesting news coming out. I don't know how newsy it is, but anything Arch Manning, it's not Taylor Swift, but anything Arch Manning just seems to get everybody excited at UT. And this past week, his uncle, Eli Manning, appeared on the Zach Gelb show and on CBS Sports Radio and said, you know what, he shouldn't go anywhere. He should stay. He should redshirt like I did at Ole Miss and be patient and not fall into the NIL game. What did you make of that?
Oh, not a whole lot. I've never thought he was leaving. You know, I think he's happy here. He came here because he believed in Sark, and I don't think he wants to start over anywhere else. And now that Malik Murphy has gone to Duke, the pathway to a starting role is open. We know Quinn Ewers gets hurt every year and has missed almost six full games in his two seasons here. So I think there's a pathway to playing time, and I think Sark will showcase him this spring and give him a ton of reps because he's got to get him ready. You go in the SEC, you can't go on the SEC with one quarterback, and he's what is he throwing? Four passes, five passes, whatever it is. That's not enough. So I think he's going to play a lot this year, and especially this spring, he's going to find out how good he is. So,
well, here's what Eli said to break it down.
No, he picked Texas because that's where he wants to be. That's where he wants to play football. He likes Coach Sarkisian and his offense and what they're doing. So that was he knew last year that he was going to go. He's in a red shirt, get some playing time. And, you know, the plan was Ewers would maybe go in the NFL, but he's there. It's another year for Arch to mature, learn the offense, get bigger, stronger in the weight room, and always be prepared to play. And you never know what's going to happen. And so he's got to be ready. If not, then he, you know, gets some playing time here and there. And he's got three more years of eligibility at a great school, at a great, you know, football program on the rise. So I think that was, the fact that you can transfer so easily now doesn't mean you should do it just because you're not playing right away. A lot of quarterbacks, when I was in college, that was always a game plan. It's like you redshirt, you sit a year, you have 3 years of eligibility. That's what I did at Ole Miss, and I think it helped me. And so I think Arch, I know he wants to play. He's itching to get in there, but being patient, continue to learn can be very helpful as well.
In short, Duck, Eli played the patient game, but Eli wasn't in the NIL era. So, but I will say this, Eli's dad was a millionaire. Archie Manning made a lot of money in the league and played at Ole Miss. And so Eli wasn't going to go anywhere and have to sit out a year. So the transfer game is different. Mm-hmm. I will say this about Arch, from talking to him in New Orleans, very mature for a young guy. He has his head on straight. Seems to love where he is. He seems to love Austin. He seems to love the culture here at Texas. And he'll eventually get his turn, albeit he may have to wait longer to be the guy. But I don't think either one of us is going to disagree that we won't be surprised if he starts two or three games next season.
I don't know if he's going to start.
Quinn gets hurt, Doug.
Yeah.
So who's going to start if Quinn doesn't get hurt? When's Quinn gone wire to wire in a season?
Well, He's had two seasons.
That's like three. So the next time he goes wire to wire would be the first time. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance. Hell, sure. Malik Murphy started two games, so you can't say that it's not possible. Very, very possible.
But you know what? He needs to stay healthy if he's going to be in the league. Because if he goes three straight years and misses multiple games, like, you know, two this past season and three and three quarter, you know, the year before when he got hurt in Alabama, he's going to be labeled as injury prone. He's got to stay healthy. Like, you look at J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. His record's 27-1. You know, they're looking for durability. And there are already some question marks on Quinn. And I'm sure, I don't know what his grade was, and maybe the grade was just return to school. But he's back here for a reason, and that reason is partly injuries and durability. And he's got to do better decision-making and better in the red zone. So it's a big year for him. But this is it for Sark Quinn, don't you think? Because if he gets hurt again, okay, his NFL draft stock is going to lessen. Or if he doesn't have that great a year, he's not going to be in demand in the NFL. And then it's like, okay, Arch, what you got? And this is a time for him to showcase himself.
Or maybe he gets Wally Pitt.
You don't know. We don't know.
You don't know. Here's what we do know. Sarkisian is very high on mm-hmm. Arch Manning. Extremely high. You know, we met with Steve a week or so ago, and here's what he had to say about the young quarterback.
I think for Arch, is continuing on the path that he's been on. I referenced it last year, kind of middle of the season, about the growth that he really started to take there in the second half of the season, all the way up until the Sugar Bowl there. So, again, my idea, especially at the quarterback position, I just don't want to hurry up and get a guy on the field. I want to make sure when he gets on the field that he plays great football. And that's a little easier to do as you start to move and you get into year four of your program, as opposed to year one and you're just trying to get the best guy out there to give yourself a chance. But I think Arch has got an extremely bright future. We're very fortunate to have him on our roster. He's got great leadership skills, got a great skill set. So those two guys are going to be big for us next fall.
Duck is short. In short, Sarkisian is excited because he's got two.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have at least two. You got to have two. Not everybody's going to have an Iron Man like J.J. McCarthy. He was an Iron Man, Duck. He played. He always showed up. And Quinn's gotten banged up a couple of times. And, you know, the one thing that I'll mention about Quinn is I think that maybe, just maybe, 195 was too frail for a quarterback in this level of game. There aren't too many 6'2", 195-pound quarterbacks floating around. Most of those guys going 205, 210. And I know in football terms, Rod Babers uses it. You got to get some armor on you. You need some armor. And it wouldn't surprise me if he bulked up a little bit more and tried and made, which might make him a bit sturdier moving forward. You know, if he was at 195, if he adds 10 pounds, that might be all the difference for him.
You know, he was quicker on his feet, and he showed it, you know, multiple games, starting, I think, the Baylor game where he had some crucial runs. He's not frail, but when you see him, he's so lean, you know. He seems smaller than bigger and less sturdy, I would say, because he's not a big, imposing figure. So I think, you know, it would behoove him to probably put on some more muscle weight, you know, and maybe play more, like you said, 10 more pounds, like 205, something like that, if he can carry that. So, but, you know, like I said, Sark's excited to have two of them. He'd love to have three if Malik had stayed, but we all know, you know, the clock was ticking on Malik Murphy, and he had to leave to carve his own role somewhere else. So, hey, how about the combine invitations went out, 321 invitations went out by the NFL, and Michigan had 18 of them, 18 players invited to the combine, and Texas had 11, and it was one of six programs besides Michigan that had at least 10. What does that tell you?
It tells you that the Sark's building something, Duck, and 11 players going: Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Keelan Robinson, Jonathan Brooks, Jatavion Sanders, Christian Jones, Jordan Whittington, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Mitchell, Jalen Ford, and Ryan Watts. That is a lot of talent headed to Indy. What was the name? What's the name of that steakhouse? Elmo's?
Yeah, St. Elmo's Shrimp Cocktail.
Oh, my God. That was the scariest, hottest shrimp cocktail I've ever had. Yeah. They should have warned me, Duck. They should have warned me, but they didn't. They should tell you that that cocktail sauce is that spicy. I like spicy, but, man, that was way spicier than I could have ever imagined.
It's awesome. It's the best there is. And you know, Michigan, and you just cited those names, and that one thing that should jump out at you is it's scattered across the board. You know, it's not just receiver or a linebacker or defensive lineman or offensive lineman. You know, it's scattered throughout. It's just like I'm looking at Michigan, and this is who got invited to the combine: 6 offensive linemen, 2 wide receivers, 3 D linemen, 2 linebackers, 2 defensive backs, and then the quarterback in McCarthy and Blake Corum, All-American running back. That tells you they had a wealth of talent. That also should tell you they've lost a wealth of talent.
And so do the Longhorns. And so do the Horns.
Yeah, but whoever... don't you feel like Michigan's stepping back more? Because, you know, you lose your star tailback and your star quarterback in addition to all these.
I wasn't impressed with J.J. McCarthy ever. He was okay. I wouldn't be shocked if he never started an NFL game. I mean, Duck, if he played that way against the Longhorns, they would have lost. They weren't going to run wild on Texas. Those running backs weren't going to run wild on the Longhorns. One thing Longhorns could do is they could stop the run. But if J.J. McCarthy was throwing the missing receivers by 5 and 6 yards, were you impressed with J.J. McCarthy in that semifinal? I know you were. We talked about it.
I think, but the fact is now they don't have him 28 starts, won all but one of them, and now they're breaking in a new quarterback. And because Texas goes to Ann Arbor week 2, looks good, a good omen for Texas, wouldn't you say?
Also, Doug, they're breaking in a new head coach, Sharon Moore. Exactly. I mean, it's not like it's not like they're replacing him with a clone of Jim Harbaugh. We don't know what that guy, all we know is that he gave a good cry during the suspension after they won a game. And I'm like, dude, stop crying. What are you doing? I mean, your coach cheated. You're crying for what? So it's an interesting game. It's going to be an interesting game to see who is most early season ready at the Big House. Is that week 2, Doc? I think that's week 2, right?
Week 2.
The Big House in week 2.
And you mentioned new head coach. He's not just a new head coach at Michigan. He's a new head coach. He's never been a head coach. So it's 2 things there. And I don't know who all he's hired as coordinators or anything, but you got to figure, you know, that's a step back for Michigan, not having Harbaugh and those people.
It's a huge step back. And the one thing the Horns have going into that matchup is Steve Sarkisian's still a head coach. Quinn Ewers is still the quarterback. Those are the two most important parts of a team. And then left tackle, Kelvin Banks, will be better. So I think they're going to be going up against a run-heavy type team, and those two tackles are going to be gone, Sweat and Mitchell. They're going to need Vernon Broughton and A.C. Collins to really step up. Those guys are just – they were 3 and 4 as part of a rotation. Have we seen – I think Vernon Broughton has a bigger upside. We've been waiting on Alf Collins for a while, Duck, and this is it for him.
Long time, and they got a lot of bodies there and waiting to see somebody step forward. And, you know, we haven't mentioned the loss of Bo Davis to LSU, too. You know,
huge.
Top line coaches in America. So, you know, that's going to hurt, too. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And then staying with the NFL draft for a second, how many you think Texas players go in the first round this coming
in spring? The first round? I think that Adonai Mitchell and Byron Murphy II are first-round picks. I think that's it. Sweat, Mago, But what I'm seeing on Sweat is a lot of late first round, early second round. But I think if you put a gun in my head, I go A.D. Mitchell and Byron Mitchell. Those guys are going to go
first round. My crazy prediction is either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy go to the Chiefs. Because, boy, they could use another wide
receiver. They've got enough. I really think A.D. Mitchell and Byron Murphy is the fit for the Chiefs. X is a deep threat, but X, there are question marks about his hands. And Lord knows the Chiefs have enough guys dropping balls. Isn't it amazing that their guys stopped dropping the ball in the playoffs?
Money time.
Their guys, it's money time, yeah. And so either one of those guys, the Kansas City is a huge upgrade of what they have. I think Rashee Rice is going to be really good next year for them. They do need a couple of other receivers. They will draft offense in the first round, as exhibited 7 or 8 years ago when they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, much to the consternation of some real draft experts that didn't like John Dorsey's infatuation with Patrick Mahomes. He called him a generational talent, and some laughed at him. Who's laughing now, Doug?
Chiefs fans aren't laughing. They're just throwing parades. And speaking of which, just a horrific episode at Kansas City where at least one person has already been reported as dead and 9 or 10 others injured at the end of the parade when shots were fired. And said, you and I talk about this all the time. It's like it's the state of our society now. And it's, you know, you can't even have a celebratory parade without getting somebody shot. And it's just horrendous. And I just,
who gets up in the morning? But of all you out there listening, who wakes up to go to a party and go, man, let me get strapped up? Because I can tell you this, if you don't take a gun with you, you're not going to use a gun because you don't have it. What happened in the good old days where the gun was in a lockbox in your house in case somebody broke in? Now it's like a wallet. I mean, you get, oh, let me do the checkup. I got my cell phone. I got my keys, or I need my AK-47. The hell's going on in America? And I ain't politicizing anything. I'm just tired of stupid people shooting people. And I am not trying to hear mental illness. I know some people have problems, but there are a lot of people who just are drunk on power and have played one too many video games, and they want to do the real thing. Why does this not happen in other countries? Only in our country, Doug. There are more guns in our country than people. That's just stupid.
Too accessible. And now, you know, recently we saw where a mother of a shooter was found complicit and guilty. Because should have seen the signs coming, and there were all kind of signs if you follow that case, you know, where this kid had easy access to a gun, and just the signs were all over the place. But
what's it going to take for it to stop? Is a famous athlete going to get shot for them to? I just think give them life in prison. Send a message. Be hard. I mean, if you're not going to control who gets the guns, then make the penalty stiffer when you misuse a gun. Because you will never hear me say that you shouldn't have the right to bear arms. Everybody should have that right to protect their life, limb, their property, their loved ones. But since when is walking outside and going to a parade of 300,000 people and shooting into an innocent crowd protecting anybody? It's a selfish act. It's selfish.
No protection at all. Until we get serious about the crime and the penalties, we're going to see it continue. And it's just tragic what's happening in this country. So, well, let's move on. Yes, you have a comment?
I was going to ask about recruiting. We didn't hit on that. I know Sarkisian mentioned to us that I don't back in the day, Duck, Mac Brown always said, well, if we own Texas, we can win. And it was tried, and it was true, and it led to a national championship. And many 10-win seasons with teams that were 95% Lone Star State. It's kind of changed with NIL. It's kind of changed with recruiting. It's more fluid because kids can leave right away and go somewhere else. Sark it makes no secret that he wants his footprints on the West Coast. And during his time, there was 15 scholarship players from the Pac-12 area, and guy, including guys who are leaving. You got Xavier Worthy, Malik Murphy's moved on. Bijan Robinson was big from Arizona. You got the young DeAndre Moore coming back, Brandon Baker, an incoming offensive line, just to name a few, Doug. Why do you think that's important? And I know Sark is from Cali, and he played West Coast football. Why do you think that's important? And do you think he'll run the risk of alienating some very influential Texas high school football coaches?
You always do to a certain extent, as long as he makes his living here in the Lone Star State. Obviously he knows he'd be foolish to just ignore all the talent there is in Texas. But, you know, for him to have gotten 15 players in the last 3 years from the footprint that is the Pac-12, and it's a growing footprint because, you know, the Pac-12 is dissolving and becoming a glorified Mountain West conference. And, you know, a lot of there's so much talent, you know, west of the Mississippi, and they're not all wanting to play in the Mountain West conference. We do know that. And so, yeah, some of them will still want to play in the Big Ten, but some of the parents too may not be wild about, you know, their kids going to USC or UCLA or Oregon and having to travel to Penn State and Rutgers and Maryland and not being in classrooms. And it's just a safety issue, you know. It's like, and they're not going to see their kids play as much. Yeah, if they came to Texas, they wouldn't probably see them play as much either. But if all things are equal, maybe you come to Texas and you don't have those exorbitant cross-country trips like you do. So I think it's opened the doors, not just for Texas, but for the SEC and the Big Ten to maybe pillage, you know, that area of the country more than they already have. And like you said, he's going to cherry pick, you know, players. Look at his, three of his best players were transfers. Quinn Ewers, Ohio State, Xavier Worthy signed with Michigan, A'Dae Mitchell started for two Georgia national championship teams. Others, you know, where would Texas be without those three? And so, and then Ryan Watts is another guy who went to Ohio State. So I just think we're going to see more of that cherry pick. And he's got to be careful. You raise a good point. He's got to be careful not to alienate the Texas high school family, because that's got to be first and foremost in his mind.
That's still got to be where the bread's buttered, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think he'll need to get away from it that much. And like you said, he does it to fill voids. And he only got, I think it's 8 transfers, said this offseason. But you look at them, you got 3, you know, brand name receivers. You got a safety from Clemson with roots here in Central Texas. You know, you got Matthew Golden from Houston, who's also a kick returner. You got a tight end from Alabama. So, you know, he's trying to, you know, use Band-Aids, I think, through the portal to fill voids, you know, not just indiscriminately, well, go out and get 20 transfers and hope some of them stick.
I love what he said. I know they're going to build through recruiting first.
Yeah.
And they're going to use the portal as a supplement. And you can't ignore the portal. There are just too many good, talented players out there who are veteran players, mature players who are coming in, looking for a check. Second of all, looking to get to the league. And I think he's walked that fine line very well so far. It's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. This is easily his most talented team that he's had of the three. And those guys are gone now. 11 of those guys are gone to the league, hopefully. And so the question is, will they rebuild or will they reload? And with the SEC beckoning, it better be reload, Doug, because the game doesn't wait for anybody.
And one thing I read about recruiting just this week, where only 2 Big Ten schools signed a 5-star player. One was Ohio State, one was Nebraska. So, you know, a lot of those are still going to go to the SEC. But, well, let's move on to men's basketball. You know, had a huge win over a very bad West Virginia team at home. Finally won their second home game.
Hey, did they get a dub at the house? Why do you get to cover Texas wins? and I get to cover Texas losses.
They want to put on a show when I'm there, and they certainly did. The Sioux at like 27 points and just tore it up in the second half. And big development, Tyrese Hunter had 19 points. There was a sighting, and you know they've tried to give him more of the ball handling to take some of the pressure off Tyrese Hunter. But that was a big. If they could get a little more production out of him, that could get third offensive weapon. Dylan Mitchell's playing a little better, shooting a little better. They got to get a little bit.
That's still by Tyrese Hunter, and he took one step past the free throw line, and he flew in there and threw that thing down. That kid can get up. That kid is just he's probably the best athlete on the team. He's just not the biggest guy. I mean, Dylan Mitchell's a great athlete, but he's 6'8", and he's tall. He's tall. But, man, Tyrese Hunter is just a great athlete. Kendall Weaver's probably the best athlete on the team. I think Kendall Weaver can fly. He's my favorite player on that team. If he ever develops a jump shot, look out. He could be the best. He could be the second coming of, what was his name? Javon Carter from West Virginia. Remember how good that guy was? He was a great two-way guard who could guard you 90 feet and still score 10 to 15 a game. That's the kind of guy that Kendall Weaver could be if he develops an offensive game. I love watching that kid.
Well, he's fun to watch. He's only got 6 threes all year. He's 6 for 23. So we're not going to look for that this season. But
don't have to make threes. Just slash and dash, dunk on people, make a couple of pull-up jumpers. And he's easily the best offensive rebounding guard on the team. He is all over that rim.
And they needed help in the rebound. They're ranked right now tied for 244th in the country in rebounding. So they definitely need some help there. 7 games left, 4 of them on the road. Tell me this.
Good for them. They need that.
Are they going to win any of these 4? They go to Houston this Saturday. Then they go to Kansas, Texas Tech, and Baylor. Do they win any of those 4?
They'll steal one of those. They'll steal at least one of those. I think Baylor's their best shot. Baylor's been really good. I watched them dismantle. Was it Oklahoma the other night?
It was Oklahoma.
They look really good. Kansas isn't Kansas, Doug.
No, and
Kansas
Baylor
isn't Kansas.
Baylor gave
and
Kansas.
Baylor should have. And Iowa State should have won in Kansas. The refs took that game away intentional foul or something, a flagrant foul that gave him 4 free throws down the stretch. So Kansas is not Kansas, and they got their door blown off of them the other night, and Bill Self got thrown out of the game, and they don't shoot it well. So Texas catches Kansas not on a good night. Texas has the ability to beat Kansas in Lawrence. It's happened before, so I don't put it past the Longhorns to win one or two of those road games, Doug. I don't.
Yeah,
They're better on the road.
They have been better on the road. You know, go figure. But I figure they're 5-6 right now. They're in 9th place in the Big 12. But according to Joe Lenardi, there are 9 Big 12 teams penciled in for the big dance, and
I'd be shocked to see 9. That's so many.
Only they in the
SEC. That's like the SEC in baseball season. Oh, they remember they have teams that didn't even make the SEC tournament. They got into the NCAAs. I mean, long live Skip Bertman. But nine teams is a lot. You don't want to be in those last two. You gotta move up to like 7. You get to 7, you should feel real good about yourself.
Well, right now they're penciled in as an 8 seed, and they will play
8 seed in the tournament, number 9 seed, number 9 in the Big 12.
Exactly. Okay. They would play Arizona, a 1 seed, in the second round if they hold on. I figure they're 5-6. If they can go 3-4 and get to 8-10, they'll get in because of the strength of the. But it'd be not calmer on the nerve for Rodney Terry if they go 9-9. So real quickly, I know we only have a few minutes left. Baseball starting this Friday, 3-game set against San Diego out of the Big West. They won the Big West last year. I think they're picked fifth this year. Supposed to have a lot of pitching. You high hopes for the baseball team? You worried? They lost some people like Eric Kennedy, Dylan Campbell, Lucas Gordon. What's your thoughts?
I like, we talked to the two pitchers. We talked to LeBaron Johnson and Tanner Witt in the offseason. Saw Tanner Witt at Belmont the other day, looking good, big. God, he's looking big, bulky. Were pitchers ever that big when I was growing up? I don't think
all of them are big.
Those guys are huge. And so you kind of like that 1-2. You kind of like that 1-2. Hopefully Tanner's back. Doing Tanner Witt things. We'll see. This feels more like a 1A, 1B when we're talking about Friday night. I think LeBaron is the guy that's penciled in. We'll see if he's throwing strikes. We'll see if he's throwing strikes. We know he throws hard. We'll see if he's throwing strikes. A lot of new faces, Duck. And I'm not going to talk out of my realm because I couldn't begin to tell you if they're reloading or rebuilding. I hated the way the season ended last year, and I'm sure they've used that as fuel coming into this year. Losing that ball in the lights, in the twilight in Stanford is not a way to go out.
The two big thing issues, I think, finding a catcher after Silas Orduan, then Guillemette last year, they need a steady hand behind the plate. Jalen Flores, shortstop, had a rocky year as a freshman, hit 175, is going to have to do a lot better than that. And then Luke Storm, the promising transfer from Duke, who's supposed to be a first baseman, end up retiring for personal reasons. So probably that moves Jared Thomas, last year's first baseman, back to first, and he was kind of projected as an outfielder. And two outfielders to look out for, Longhorn Nation, Will Gasparino from California, and then Tommy Farmer, 6'3" outfielder, walk-on. Those two could really be big in the outfield. They got Porter Brown back there.
Downtown. Porter Brown's back. Peyton Powell is back.
Peyton Powell back at third, mainstay. He is. So, anyway, I know we have a minute or so left. Anything from the CDC town hall jump out at you? They may build an arena for volleyball. That'd be nice.
New scoreboard, new jumbotron. They're putting a backdrop on it, Duck. And CDC says when those road teams roll up 35, they're going to see that big bird orange logo, and they're going to know they're playing the Texas Longhorns. I think CDC, I think they probably already know because they just landed in Austin and – they're on the way to the game. So I think they probably knew before you redid the scoreboard. But new scoreboard, new suites, just spending money because they have it. And good for them. Good job, CDC. Good job.
And next week, new podcast, and we'll be back.
New podcast next week. And maybe we might try to get CDC, Doug. We'll see if we can get CDC. But we'll know more about hoops as well because March Madness is coming up. Thank you for joining us for 325 in the books. We love you. Happy Valentine's. Belated for those that didn't get the candy. For the Duck, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.